This podcast is sponsored by the valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding, TV sucking ideas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Naval Gazing, the Valley Indie podcast. My name is Eugene Driscoll. I'm a reporter, editor with valleyindie.org. This podcast, by the way, as you heard my daughter say, is sponsored by valleygivesback.org. Here is a message from our sponsor. Love your local nonprofits and build a better community with a gift that costs you nothing today. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now, give later, impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. So my guest for this episode of Naval Gazing is Ansonia Police Lieutenant Patrick Lynch. We talk about two topics. First, he gives us an update on the search for missing toddler Vanessa Morales. Her story will be featured Wednesday on a cable television show on Investigation Discovery. Second, we talk about police response in the age of the COVID-19 pandemic. So without further ado, here is Lieutenant Lynch. So I want to welcome to the Valley Indie podcast, Lieutenant Patrick Lynch of the Ansonia Police Department. Welcome back, Lieutenant Lynch.
Thank you for having me, Eugene.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about two topics. First, about an update or any information you can give on the search for Vanessa Morales, the toddler who went missing around Thanksgiving. I know even in the midst of a global pandemic, police are still continuing to follow up in leads and investigate that case. Is it still active, Lieutenant?
Case is very much active. We continue to get some tips and leads in, and we are following them out. Detective Bureau is still working with the FBI, Connecticut State Police. All three agencies are still working in conjunction with our goal is to find Vanessa and bring her home to her family.
And in terms of connecting with Vanessa's family and whatnot, and I'm sorry, there'll be some, we're recording this over my phone, so you will hear my phone once in a while. Are you checking in with the family to provide updates, or because it's an active investigation, you can't do that? How does that work?
No, we have a liaison that's been assigned to keep in regular contact with the family. They give us information that they receive, and we bring them up to speed on any new information that we may have.
Okay. And then related to the search for Vanessa Morales, Mike Mako of the Connecticut Post reported, I believe this was Tuesday, perhaps today's edition of Connecticut. I don't even know what day it is. But on Wednesday at 10 p.m., people should tune in to Investigation Discovery. Investigation Discovery in Pursuit is a show with John Walsh that will be featuring a story on the Vanessa Morales case, and it's on the Investigation Discovery channel. Lieutenant, what role did the Ansonia Police Department play in the production of this episode that's airing Wednesday, 10 p.m., Investigation Discovery?
We were contacted by a producer from the show who asked us for information. We provided her with all the information that we've given out to the public and the press. And we've been told that they're going to be doing a segment tomorrow. They have a missing person segment that they do, and they want to concentrate it on Vanessa this next coming episode.
And people should be aware, check your local listings. I'm not intimately familiar with Investigation Discovery, so either you pay for it or you don't. Check local listings. In terms of media inquiries, Lieutenant, and things like sort of unique inquiries like this show that is hosted by John Walsh, do you get those quite often? How do you decide who to say yes to, who to maybe put on a back burner?
We've had a few requests. I know Live PD, we were on Live PD a couple months ago. They had done a brief interview and a segment on Vanessa for us. And we don't really turn anybody away because it's in our best interest to keep the story on the forefront, to keep her picture and the information that we need to get to people out there in the public view.
And then the if anybody has information, Ansonia Police are still collecting leads, as the lieutenant said. You can call 203-735-1885. Also, TIP411 is a website. You can submit tips as well.
Yes.
Anything else you wanted to add to that that I'm not asking, Lieutenant?
No, no. We are extremely grateful for the information that we've been getting from the public. We've stated numerous times there is no information that is insignificant. We encourage people to call us. We've gone all over the state. We've worked with the FBI to get to places that we normally wouldn't be able to get to places just geographically because we couldn't. And, you know, we'd rather have information that doesn't lead to anything than maybe miss something that could get us to where we need to be. So all information is welcome. All information is encouraged to be sent into us.
Okay, and just to put a cap on this segment, I should properly source the Connecticut Post article. If you go to the Connecticut Post, the headline is Missing Ansonia Toddler Story to Appear Wednesday on Investigation Discovery. So now moving on to COVID-19. About, I want to say a week ago, like I said, I've lost track of time. March 18th, Ansonia Police Department put out a message on Facebook and on, I guess, the city website, explaining some procedural things that were changing as we're all dealing with the COVID-19 virus. And yesterday I saw a post that there was an armed robbery in Ansonia, which happens all over. And someone had posted that, well, there's no police on the streets. And I took it, and I could be wrong, as a misinterpretation of the message that police put out, because there's been changed protocols, Lieutenant, but you still have the same number of officers out on the street, correct?
Yes, it is. I agree with you on the misinterpretation. The purpose of the post was just to allow people to know procedurally. There are some calls that aren't going to require a face-to-face officer to complainant officer to victim interaction. There's calls that we can do over the phone so that when people call in, the dispatcher is going to ask them a series of questions. And if it's something we can do over the phone, an officer will contact them back and do that information. However, it is not affecting our manpower. It's not affecting our officers on the streets. We continue to run at full manpower. We have our full complement of officers on the street doing their regular patrols. This is in no way cutting into the service that we're offering the public. It's just a change in how we deliver it in certain aspects. And that was our main goal. You know, the main talking point has always been social distancing. So in an effort to protect the public and our officers, we're trying to practice that in our job as best we can. Obviously, there's certain things that we can't do that we have to talk to people face-to-face or we have to involve ourselves. And we will continue to do that. It's not going to change that part of the service. It's we're taking an opportunity to reevaluate how we have interactions with people to keep everyone safe.
So it's not that Ansonia Police are huddling in the police department and not patrolling the streets. The amount of officers that are on the street at any given time is the same today as it was a year ago, essentially. I mean, barring any additional manpower from a budget, but that type of police work has not changed.
Absolutely. We are still out. Our guys are still on the street doing their normal patrols.
And so if I call the Ansonia Police Department and I say, hey, I think someone stole my child's bicycle. I last saw it a month ago. That might be a scenario where you're going to say, you might not necessarily send an officer in person to take that report. That report can be done over the phone. Is that what we're talking about here to put it in?
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably one of the best scenarios I've heard so far. Something to that effect. A case that is currently not in progress and is definitely after the fact. We'd have an officer call you, get all the descriptions that they would normally get face-to-face with you about the description of the bike, where it was last seen, if you have any idea of who may have taken it, and then the officer will do the follow-ups from there.
But when somebody, in the real-world case the other day, somebody robs a gas station at gunpoint and fires a shot, which is a terrifying story to read, that's a normal, somebody calls 911, officers are, every officer in Ansonia and probably Derby responded to that call. How did that work in the COVID-19 era?
That's exactly how it happened. All our officers that were on were dispatched to the call in the general area. We brought our detective bureau in to process the scene and look for further evidence. So nothing has changed as far as that goes. Like you said originally, Gene, I think it was a misunderstanding of what was put out there. Nowhere in our posting did it say anything about not patrolling the streets or not having officers on the streets. It was a change in procedure for certain calls. So we are not changing our regular patrol routines. Those are going to remain in effect, and officers will be dispatched to calls that are necessary and in progress and that we need an officer at.
And then in terms of, I mean, obviously, as far as I know, there have been no Ansonia police officers or people working in the police department that have tested positive for COVID-19.
We have not had any positive tests. I don't even know if we've had anybody tested within our police department. The chief has done an outstanding job getting information out to our officers. He is inundated on a daily basis through all sorts of conference calls and online meetings with information from the Naugatuck Valley Health Department, from the CDC, from the governor. And he's pushing that information down to our officers about safety and what to do in the event that you are not feeling well, and procedures that we've put in place to try to stem the tide if it does happen to affect us in one way or another.
And then is that information being, I mean, I don't know what happens at the start of every shift at the Ansonia Police Department. You know, I watched Hill Street Blues in 1982 and I watched what they did. I don't know if that actually happens, but is this information being relayed through email from the chief, or I guess he can't gather everybody in a room. How do you manage that type of interaction? We were supposed to be social distancing.
Right. Those are things we struggle with. We've talked about changing our procedures as we do roll call. And roll call, I will agree with you, it's very similar to how the TV shows have it.
Okay.
The shift supervisor will have the officers, and they'll get their assignments, and they'll get any calls of substance that happened prior, any information that we feel needs to go out. We're doing most of our stuff through email. Most of our information is being sent out through email. Usually our roll call gatherings are small enough where we're able to keep people properly distanced. And if we have to have a conversation in person, we'll have the conversation quickly. Our goal is to get our guys prepared for the shift and get them on the road as quickly as possible.
Okay. And my last question, it just made me think, you're still in that converted school building there on, what is it, Elm Street? Right? Is that what it is?
Elm Street. Yes, sir.
Okay. So not exactly conducive to social distancing, that building. How's the new police station coming along? I mean, I don't know if that's in your daily briefings or anything like that. But there is a construction underway on Main Street in Ansonia, right across from, the Maple Street Bridge? A new police station being redeveloped out of an old building. How's that coming along? That is coming
along very well. The chief gives us regular updates, again, mostly through email. Prior to this, he would stop in and as many roll calls as he could to give them updates as to how the building's progressing. Our last information is we're still on target to get in there by the end of this year, beginning of next year. The construction company has made great strides in converting the building. So barring anything unforeseen, that should go, and that will definitely improve our ability to offer services more like fluidly to people and better atmosphere and provide our officers with a working atmosphere that is most definitely better than what we're going through right now.
Okay, and I said that would be my last question, but I am a proven liar. In terms of when officers are responding to calls, is there any gear in terms of what they're wearing, personal protection? We're all learning what PPE is or whatever that is. Does any of that come into play? Are the officers?
It can. We've always provided our officers with rubber gloves. So we keep a stock of rubber gloves available to all the officers. Most officers carry pouches on their belts. We've always provided our officers with a trauma kit that they can carry on their person along with a tourniquet. We have now since increased, we were able to secure some plastic shields, and we have a kit in every car that has a gown, gloves, and the plastic shield. And I believe the chief just ordered some more permanent plastic shields. There's a company in Shelton, I think Modern Plastics, they converted over to make shields first responders and medical people. And we actually secured an order from them, and we're, I believe, going to be receiving it, I think, the end of this week. And with that order, we'll actually issue each officer their own shield. It's a full face shield, so it protects against the droplets, coughing, sneezing, things like that. Our dispatchers are asking series of questions to people when they call in to try to get an idea of if they fall into any of the categories. You know, have they been out of the country? Are they not feeling well? Have they had contact with anybody that's been a potential COVID patient? And this way, our officers at least have some kind of an idea of what they're walking into. We're going to service our calls, but we want to give our officers as much information as possible prior to servicing that call. When the weather's nicer, we've instituted having, if the complainants can, come outside and talk to us. At least it's more open atmosphere. You're not in a house. So we've tried things like that. We've notified people on the phone that could you step out of the house? If they can't, then we'll go inside. We're not going to refuse to service a call. We're just trying to protect, and it's as much for their protection as it is our officers' protection, and trying to keep the social distancing, keep the spatial distance that we need so that everyone is protected.
Okay, and this will be my last question, I promise, and then I'll just ask you if there's anything else you wanted to add. But one thing that's happening in Connecticut, I mean, as of 8 p.m. Monday, which is last night as of this recording, the governor's executive order regarding non-essential businesses went into effect. And every time the governor has been doing a press conference up at the Armory at Hartford, the press corps is always asking, well, what's next? What's next? Basically asking, when does this become mandatory? What role is the police department playing, if any, in terms of this sort of, at least confusing to me, area when it comes to non-essential businesses and gatherings of people on the street? What do you do as a police officer? What advice are you giving to the officers at this point?
Well, what we've done is we're still in the process of putting together lists of what would be considered essential businesses within Ansonia so that our officers understand what that is. And if in their patrols they see a business that is not on the essential list, they'll go have a conversation with the owner or the manager and explain to them, what the governor's order was and that they're not considered an essential business and they need to close. And as far as gatherings go, if they see groups gathering, then, have a conversation with them about, the best way to stem the tide, flatten the curve. I think that's the newest hashtag, flatten the curve. That's why you can't have these gatherings, because you may be asymptomatic. They still haven't gotten, a complete handle on this. You may have someone that's asymptomatic, but can pass, has got it and is passing it along to other people. So to cut our gatherings down, we've had no resistance in that. We've actually had complete compliance, but excellent compliance. I mean, we have all the restaurants down on Main Street, and there have not been one issue so far with any of the restaurants that we've had in town. We've had not a single complaint about a restaurant being open when they weren't supposed to be. Some of them have converted to, takeout curbside. Some of them have just closed their doors altogether. It's a situation that is constantly fluid, like you said. Things change sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis. And, you know, we are trying to go out and just have conversations with people. We're not trying to go out and order people to do things. We have to have conversations with them, you know, because it's always the best way to do it. You know, forced compliance is always an issue that we try to stay away from.
And then just piggybacking off your comments about the restaurants, anybody listening, the City of Ansonia Facebook page, the official City of Ansonia page, is really going above and beyond trying to help businesses, restaurants that are open on Main Street and providing that delivery or takeout service. So you can go there for more information. Okay, that's it for me. I will shut up now. Is there anything else you want you wanted to add that I haven't asked, Lieutenant?
No, just, you know, people need to realize that while it's inconvenient, it's in the best interest of everyone. You may not feel that you have exposure, but you don't know who you're dealing with and who they've had exposure to. So, you know, while it's inconvenient to stay inside or limit your connection with people, this is the way we're going to get past this situation as quickly as possible.
All right. I want to thank you so much for taking the time, and be well.
You too, Eugene. Thank you very much.
For hundreds of years, we've brought you the news. For the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Change in market now threatens our lives. Transliteration, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding, TV sucking ideas from our head, public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur, yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the open each day.